we can come together and encourage one another in the Lord and help each other from the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for these many who are visiting with us, many for the first time. Lord, it's a joy to have them. And then we thank you for our folks who are so faithful. They're here every Sunday morning, and we thank you for that. And Lord, our desire this morning is to hear from heaven. And God, we pray that you would speak to us. We are a needy people, and every one of us this morning needs to hear from God. And we're asking you, Lord, just to reach down from heaven and work in our hearts and lives today. Guide me as I teach. May you help me to say the things I should say. And help us to be good listeners and also good doers, we pray. Do pray for Kathy. Continue to touch her there in Nashville. Continue to bring her back to health. Thank you for the good report from Paul today. And do pray for Brian. Just found that he has ALS, Lord, and a very difficult time ahead for him. Don't know if he's a believer or not, but I pray that you would minister in his life and help him. Also for Angie, we just found out she has cancer. Lord, there's so many folks with cancer on our list and many folks who need a touch from heaven. And God, just pray you'd minister to them. Be with Dr. Comfort, Ms. Comfort, as they minister now to us today and this morning. Be with the Brubakers as they travel over this afternoon and begin ministering tonight. And God, may we, at the end of this meeting, may we be able to say we saw God do something amazing. And we want you to receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, let me just kind of mention this. You can turn to Ephesians 4. You can get started here. The verse has been on my heart. This idea about who gets glory in the church. We talked about this a little bit last week. Who's supposed to get glory in the church? Unto Him be glory in the church. And that's our goal today, to glorify the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Good. Someone around you doesn't have a Bible, if you'll share, or maybe you have several. Good. Good to have you folks with us this morning. Good to see you this morning. Good. This morning, by the way, I sent out several emails, little teasers this week. And I did get a reply from one person who had the right answer, what the lesson's about this morning. I really have been praying about this for some time. And several weeks ago, the Lord laid this topic on my heart. And it is a topic, something that every believer needs to learn to do. Now, if you're a wife and you don't learn to do this, before long you'll have friction in the home, and before long you won't have a home. And it's true of husbands too. If you have a job somewhere and you don't learn to do this, it won't be long before you don't have a job. If you go to church somewhere and you don't learn to do this, it won't be long before you're not in church. You got it? All right? It's funny because Wednesday night, Pastor handed out Dr. Comfort's list on, what is it, how to have revival or a checklist. And there's how many things on there? Do you remember? 10, 15, somewhere in there. Five or six of those are covered in this lesson this morning. The kind of the middle section of that. Something we all need to learn to do. And I'm going to base our lesson this morning on a verse in Ephesians chapter 4. You should be there by now. One verse. And as soon as I read it, you'll know if you got it. Okay? By the way, anybody know what it is? How many think you know what it is I'm teaching on today? I'm still praying about what to teach on, but no, you okay? All right, here it is. And be ye kind, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Let's all say the next word together. Forgiving. That was weak, gang. Let's try it again. Come on. Forgiving one another. There it is. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgive one another. Just like God forgave you. So I only have 2 points this morning, okay? 2 points, lots of sub-points. Our example of forgiveness, we're going to see it. So I'm going to work the verse kind of backwards. The example of forgiveness, and then secondly, the exhortation to be forgiving, okay? All right, so here we go. Number one, the example of forgiveness. And you see in this passage, it says you need to forgive as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3 real quickly. Because before we can understand what God has forgiven us, we need to see what we're guilty of. So in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, this is a kind of a long passage, but I want to read it with you this morning. Romans 3:10, here is the picture of every unsaved person before they come to Christ. And as we read it, notice how many times it says no one or none. Here it is, Acts 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they've used deceit. It means they're liars. The poison of asps is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And because of all that, now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become, what's the next word?
Guilty.
Guilty before God. Guilty. Every person that's ever been born, because of their sin, is guilty. Everyone. Come on in, ladies. Good to have you this morning. Hey, good to see you this morning. Somebody help some chairs back there. We won't make them sit in the front row. Grab some chairs back there, Craig. I'll just keep on going. Good. Great to have you folks. Wonderful. So the Word of God says that everyone has broken God's law. And I have never met an adult who says, Gary, I have never sinned. Now, I've met some children who are perfect children. They're 7 and 8 years old and they've never sinned, but at least I don't think so. But as adults, we know better than that, don't we? You know the sticking point that I find when I witness to people? Oh yeah, I've sinned, but I'm not as bad as... You know what the Bible says? If you sin once, you are guilty. Guilty. And the Word of God goes on to say the wages of sin is death. And that's physical separation of the body from the soul. That is separation from God for all eternity. And I want to remind you, most of you folks here today are probably believers. But I want to remind you what you were before you got saved. Because if we don't understand how much God forgave us, we won't forgive others. And if you're here today and you're not sure of heaven, boy, you really need to understand where you are right now. Without Christ, my friend, you are on your way to a place where Christ, where God will not be for all eternity. A place called hell. I heard this week and I thought, wow. Guy said, if you die without Christ and you go to hell, how long will it take for you to pay for your sin in hell? This is not a trick question. Forever. Now think about that. God is saying if you spent 50,000 years in hell, it would not be sufficient to pay for your sin. Now think about that. Boy, that struck me. If I pay for my sin, I will have to go to hell, not for 10 years, not for 100 years, not for 1,000 years, not for 100,000 years, I will have to go to hell for all eternity. Wow. What a great cost. What a great debt that we have. Now here's the great news. And you know these verses. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a great truth. Here we are, we're guilty, we're sinners, we deserve to go to hell. There's no question about it. And in that state, we were dead spiritually. God still loved you so much. He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Oh, I love Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And that always was a difficult. God was chastised so we could have peace with God. And with his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Listen. And the Lord hath laid on him some of your iniquity. A few people's iniquity. The iniquity of us all. Just think about it. Bennett, how old are you? 66 years old. I don't know how many sins you've committed in 66 years. I'm sure it was a lot. But think about this, Bennett. Every one of them, when Jesus died, everyone was put on Christ. Everyone. Buddy, every one of your sins, every one of them were laid on Christ. Diana, every one of your sins laid on Christ. Gary, every one of your sins laid on Christ. Think about that, folks. Now, we've got, I don't know how many people this morning, 120, 130, 150, 170. We're going to count those. We've got some watching online, too. If we don't make our goal, we're going to count those, too, okay? I told Johnny Saylor yesterday, he said, we're going to have three watching. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you a picture of a hamburger. So you can eat all you want, you know, because he's not here. That's exactly right. But think about it, folks. Every sin that you've ever committed, every sin of mankind, can you think about that? Every sin was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Is it any wonder that when God the Father judged him and poured out God's wrath for my sin on Jesus Christ, that God had to turn his back on his own son? And Christ calls out, my God! My only time in the Word of God he calls his Father God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father turned his back on God the Son. Now, I know there's a Trinity. I can't explain all that. I just believe it. Okay? God turned his back on God. And in the moment that you say, I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell, and you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you know what happens? Just like that. You are forgiven. Every sin, past, present, and future, every sin is placed under the blood. Every one of them. And Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And Colossians 2:13 says, And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him. Listen, having forgiven you all trespasses. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin? What an amazing thing, folks. Here we are. We're on our way to hell. We deserve to go to hell. We're sinners. We've broken God's law. And we hear that Christ came and died for us. And we are convicted in our soul. And we turn to Christ by faith. And we receive the gift of salvation. And in a moment, all those big theological words happen. You're justified. You're declared righteous. But hallelujah, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You know, forgiveness is amazing. All the sin, all the indictment, it's gone. The guilty verdict is no longer there. And we're now not guilty. There's a full pardon for sin. Jesus pays for all the sin, and we are cleansed once and for all. Amen. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him up from the miry clay, and set him free.
Wow. Hey, are you a believer today? Have you received Christ? If not, by the way, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Before you leave the grounds today, if you're not sure of heaven, and I know Dr. Comfort will give the gospel this morning in the service, and you listen carefully, and you allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart. And when the invitation is given, there'll be a time when He'll encourage you to come and receive Christ. And if you're not sure of heaven today, please don't leave these grounds until you are. But if you are a believer, you've received Christ, in your heart, you just ought to be saying, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory for what God did for me. And why did He forgive you? Because you're so good? Because you deserve it? Because He loves you. And He paid the price for your sin. Aren't you glad to be a Christian? I mean, wow, what a salvation. What a pardon. And folks, simple matter of fact is, after you get saved, you go through life, and what do? Well, unfortunately, we still sin. And for most of us, it's probably the kind of the same thing. And we come to God, and we come and we say, oh, Lord, forgive me, for I've sinned, Lord. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. Now, our sins are all under the blood. We're going to go to heaven. Our relationship with God is secure. We're children of God. But that fellowship can be hindered, can't it? Sure. And we sin, and we sin, and we come to God, and we say, oh, I did it again. Please forgive me. And what does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you come to God and He forgives you, and He forgives you. Now, I'm not saying there is not penalty for sin. You know, I don't want anybody to go away and say, okay, well, I'll just sin all I want and ask Him to forgive me and everything's going to be great. That's not it either. When you are truly repentant of sin and you come to Him, He says you're forgiven. And He says again, you're forgiven. And I want you to stop and think. Now, I've been saved for almost 50 years. In fact, I have been saved for over 50 years. That's hard to believe. Getting old, Caleb. Man, I can still take you on the basketball court. I haven't played in a long time. You may kill me now. But think about it, folks. Every sin is under the blood. They're forgiven. I can't imagine how many times I've had to come to God and say, oh, God, I blew it again. Please forgive me. And not once did He say, Gary, I'm sorry, buddy. You've reached your limit. Sorry. No. What does He say? You're forgiven, Todd. You're forgiven, Jenny. You're forgiven, Tony. Wow. You see, the reason, folks, this is the very character of God. Listen to Psalm 86:5. For Thou, Lord, art good, listen, and ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. God is ready to forgive you. If you're here this morning and you've not been to the cross, you've not had your sins forgiven, I want you to know today, God is ready to forgive you today. He's ready and He's waiting. That's His very character. That's who God is. The very nature of God. Oh, we see that so many times. And I got to get to the second half of the lesson. But don't you love the story of the prodigal son? Now, I know we can debate about whether he was saved or not, but the whole point is he took his father's inheritance and he went to a far country and he wasted it and he wasted it and he lived a terrible life. And here's a Jewish boy and he's working the pig pens and he stinks and his clothes are torn and they're tattered and they're covered with filth. And he decides, you know what? I'm going home. Don't you love that next picture? And I'm sure he is dreading seeing his father. I've wasted everything. I've ruined my life. I've done all these terrible things. And he's coming around the curve where he can see the house. Look, can you see it? Here he is. He's filthy, wretched, terrible. And he comes around the corner, and what does he see? As he comes around the corner, what does he see? Daddy is running to him. And he cleans him up. He reinstates his position. And he forgives him. Think about Christ on the cross. You say, and we're going to talk about this in a moment. Well, I don't deserve that. Did Christ deserve what he did on the cross? What they did to him on the cross? When they spit on him? How many ever had somebody spit on you? Isn't that the worst thing? Nasty. And they beat him. And they slapped him. And they took that whip and beat him over and over and over again. And they hung him on the cross. Did he deserve any of that? No. And yet, remember his words on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. What forgiveness. What amazing forgiveness. So there's the example. Secondly, the exhortation. Look back in Ephesians chapter 4. Just flip back there real quickly. And we see it here in the text, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And he says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even just like..." Remember what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes? Now, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Now you forgive others just like God forgave and forgives you." Wow. And then look in chapter 5, verse 1. Now, you know in the original writing of the Bible, there were no chapter divisions. So this follows right behind it. And it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And that word really is imitators. It's actually the word to mimic. So he said, you mimic God. You imitate God. You forgive like God forgives. Now, here's the deal, folks. Everybody in this room, at some point, well, let's just take a poll, okay? Official poll. Here it is. How many of you, at some point in your life, have had someone fail you or hurt you? Fail you or hurt you some point in life? Okay? I think it's 100%, except those that are too tired to raise their hand. Now, what does God tell you to do? Get even. All right? Do you read that in your Bible anywhere? Don't. You are the judge, you're the jury, and you're the hangman. You do it all. And you make sure you get even, and they get what's coming to them. Right? That's not in the Bible, folks. Okay? It's not there. No. He said you need to forgive them just like God forgave you. Now, I want you to stop and think for a moment. Is there somebody right now, when I've been talking about forgiving, or somebody hurting you, and somebody came to your mind, I mean, you saw them and you said, yes, they did, and I'm still mad about it. And before I die, I'm going to get even. And I don't care what you say in the rest of the lesson, I'm not going to change. Now, I'm going to give you six reasons this morning, and I'm going to have to hurry. I've got 12 minutes for six reasons. According to my math, that's 2 minutes per reason. So I'm going to have to hustle, okay? We'll try to give you some, and then we'll kind of tap others in the head. The first one's found here right here in the text. If you don't forgive, number one, you're going to destroy your relationships. Look at verse 31 here. He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, I think there's a progression here. Bitterness is that deep-seated anger or just, you know what I'm talking about, right? And it's deep in your soul, and it's something just irritates you all the time. And every time you see that person, you think, right? You're smiling because you can relate to that, can't you? It's that Hebrews 12:5 calls it that root of bitterness. Now, it's interesting to me because often you see a tree, you don't see the roots, unless you've got one of those crazy trees that the roots come out of the ground and kills your lawnmower all the time, you know? But the root always produces fruit. And you may be saying this morning, it's down there, but I've got control of it, and I'm going to keep it. Wrong. The root of bitterness will spring up, and it's interesting, it will trouble, you may know the next word?
Many.
And that starts with you. I've always thought it was interesting when we hold a grudge against somebody. I have a grudge against Dr. Comfort. I'm really upset. You don't even know it, do you? Just. Now, if I have bitterness in my heart against Dr. Comfort, does it hurt him? He didn't know about it. He didn't care. But boy, what does it do to me? It just eats me up. By the way, I don't have a grudge against Dr. Comfort. That was an illustration, okay? Some of you don't go to sleep at that point, right? Now, he said, look, this bitterness is, and then it's wrath, and that wrath is just kind of smoldering in you, and then it becomes anger, and that's when it comes out. And then you go from anger to clamor. What's clamor? Shouting, hollering, okay? And then it becomes evil speaking. I should have never married you. I hate you. And we say things that people will never forget. Never forget. And so we've got the evil speaking and then the malice. Because you see, what I just said is going to burn in their heart now for the rest of their life. And you can come back and say, man, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But they're going to remember it. Folks, if you don't learn to forgive, it's going to destroy every relationship you've got. Why do marriages fall apart? People don't forgive. Why do churches split? People don't forgive. Why do people get fired? They don't get along. They don't learn to forgive. My boss, he didn't treat me right. Every relationship be destroyed if you don't learn to forgive. Secondly, and I see I'm going to have to fly here. You know, when we do not forgive, it is simply, we are simply disobeying God. We're disobeying God. It's interesting to me, and you can write the text. It's Matthew 18. I'm not going to get there. I apologize for that. But Peter comes to the Lord, and he's really a spiritual guy, and he says, Lord, how many times should we forgive? That's a nice question, isn't it? And he thought he was highly spiritual. And he said, well, maybe how many times?
Seven.
Now think about it. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, if Mark comes up and hits me, and he says, oh, Gary, I'm sorry. I might say, oh, hey, no problem. I know you slipped and you were working out and you just muscles, you know. But it is the second time, and I may say, well, you know, it's okay. He does it the third time, the fourth time. What if I forgave Mark seven times? Wow. And Jesus said, how about 70 times 7? Now, what's he really saying?
Infinite.
You say, but wait a minute, this is the seventh time they've done that to me. Jesus said, forgive. And forgive. And forgive. And forgive. And what an illustration he gives in that text. He said there was a guy who was the king, and he had a servant, and the servant owed him all kinds of money. In fact, I figured it out last night, it's like $105 million, according to my math, okay, which is sketchy. $105 million, and the master calls this guy and says, hey, pay up, buddy, or you're going to jail. And the guy said, oh, please, give me a chance. Give me a chance to pay all this off, $105 million, okay? And the king said, all right, I'm going to let you go. Go earn it, you can pay it back. So what does he do? He goes to a guy that owes him money. According to my math, $14. $105 million, $14. And he said, buddy, you better pay up. And the guy said, I can't. And what did he do? He threw him in jail. So his master forgave him $105 million. He wouldn't forgive 14 bucks. And friends, when we as a believer refuse to forgive, we're doing exactly the same thing. Because God forgave you for every sin for all eternity. And someone says something about us or does something to us and we say, no way, I'm not forgiven. We're just like that. It's just ruins relationships. Number two, disobedience to God. Number three, interesting, it hinders our own forgiveness. This is amazing. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our debts as what? We forgive our debtors, okay? And it goes on in that passage in chapter Matthew 6:15. It says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, listen, this is Bible, okay? This is not me, this is Bible. Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. Okay. Number four. It hinders our worship. And this is in Matthew chapter 5. Again, I apologize. I wish I had another hour. I know you don't, but I do. The story of a man who goes to worship, and he said, you find out there's a brother has ought against you. You have ought against a brother. He said, you know what I ought to do? Go find him, get it right, then come and worship. Here's the analogy. You got in your car this morning. Larry got in his Corvette, and he's come to church this morning. And halfway to church, he said, you know what? There's something between me and Gary. So he goes about 145 miles an hour to my house, drags me out of bed. He says, man, I got to get this right. This morning, I'm going to go worship the Lord. I'm going to sing his praises, and I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. I'm going to give offerings. I'm going to worship the Lord this morning. But you know what? I can't do that until I get right with you. We look so spiritual. We look so holy. And we hold our Bibles and we say, God loves you. And we're so, you know, we're just, and yet down inside there is a burning of resentment and unforgiveness. And God said, look, buddy, you get it right before you come to me and worship. Okay? Number five. We are usurping God's authority. When you make yourself the judge, you are taking God's place. God says in Romans 12:19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Who is in charge of getting even? God. Boy, I wish we could learn that. Not me. Somebody says something about you on Facebook. I said something about, you know, I'm not going to say on Facebook because I'm not on Facebook. But Damon, I said something to Damon on Facebook. And Damon said, well, I'll show him. And so Damon writes him back. And I say, well, I'll show him. And so I write him back. And pretty soon, you got something little thing like somebody didn't say hi to me in Sunday school. And now we're splitting the church. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. Just think if every Christian would say, they did me wrong. But I forgive them. God is the judge. And I'm going to let God take care of it. Can you imagine how that would change us? But oh, I'm going to get even. I'll show them a thing or two. That hurt. That's a hard metal. But, you know? And by the way, when you try to get even, they'll hurt you too. All right. That's good preaching right there. Straight from the Bible. Let me give you the last one. I've got to be done. Finally, and really this is maybe the most important one. When we fail to forgive, we fail in why God put us here. Now, we've talked about this a lot in Sunday school. Why did God put you here? To glorify Him. What does that mean? To give a proper reflection of God. When I don't forgive, I don't give a right view of God. Because God is forgiving. One man said, you are never more like God
than when you forgive. Folks, if you have a grudge in your heart and will not forgive, there is no way that you can fulfill the purpose that God has given to you in this life, and that's to glorify Him. You are not giving a proper reflection of God. Cannot be done because you're not forgiving. Well, let me close real quickly. Number one, have you been forgiven? Are you here this morning and you can say, Gary, I know of a time when I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell, and I heard that Jesus Christ died for me. And I came by faith, and I placed my faith in what Christ did on the cross, and He forgave me of all my sin. Has there been a time like that? We call it being born again, being saved. One time occurrence, you're born into God's family. You're always in God's family. Has there been a time when you became a child of God and you were forgiven? If not, and I've said it three times probably already, don't leave here today until you can say, yes, I know. Yes, I know. Secondly, if you're in your heart saying, yes, I know, let me ask you, are you giving a right view of God in your life? Humanly speaking, every person in this room has a right to be bitter against somebody, humanly speaking. But we're not supposed to be human in this way. We're supposed to be godlike. And my friend, if God forgave you for all of your sin, shouldn't we follow God's admonitions and forgive others? It may be today there may be somebody in the church you need to forgive. There may be a relationship, even in our church, that you need to mend. Do it today. Humble yourself and say, I'm sorry, and fix it. There may be somebody you need to call, somebody you need to write, somebody you may need to go see. And get it right. Get it right. And the way to get it right is simply to say, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Or please forgive me. Get it right. There are families where children won't talk to parents and vice versa. And husbands and wives are at war and all kinds of things, folks. If you're a believer, God says, forgive like I forgave you. Okay? All right. Lord, we do thank you for your forgiveness. And we pray for every person in this room this morning. There are many folks here. They're visiting with us. We don't know. And Lord, if they've not received forgiveness from heaven, I pray that they would today. And Lord, for those who are believers today who've received Christ, Lord, help us to be good forgivers, to forgive quickly in every situation, I pray, that we would glorify you and be like you, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great to have you. That group in the back that came in, good to have all of you folks. I don't know any of you, but we're glad to have you. Wonderful.